Welcome back to Head Games. We're going to be joined in a few minutes by Luke Jensen for an Aussie Open update, but I thought we'd continue with this with Fred Ng, who's there in Maui. Fred, that's just not fair.
Well,
Maui?
Somebody's got to keep the economy up here in Hawaii, and that might as well be me.
And I'm sure there are a lot of youth sports issues out there, right?
Well, there are.
Right.
No, there really are, Nick, and we have a chapter of our association here in Maui, and they do a great job in educating coaches and parents. We're very proud of that.
Well, I thought we'd make the connection to the Cincinnati Bengals issues with the attitude that a TO was showing, saying that a Bill Parcells, an older coach, was like a grandmother that you love, but that really is stuck in their ways. Here's Rick Goslin for the Dallas Morning News about this new phenomenon. I'm not sure it's going to work in the case of the Raiders. It may in the case of Pittsburgh with younger coaches and what they're bringing to the game that might be necessary in the era of free agency.
I think the older coaches, and Parcells and Gibbs are two great examples, they won their Super Bowls before the salary cap with veteran players. Older coaches like veteran players because veteran players don't make mistakes that get you beat. You know, those Redskins teams, they had, you know, veteran backups behind the veteran starters. Same with the Giants. In a salary cap era, you got to play young players. You can't afford to have veteran backups. You got to get young players on the field. You got to draft them and play them early. And older coaches are reluctant to do that.
So as you look at this discipline issue around the NFL and how it affects kids, do you really think that younger coaches necessarily are a better choice in terms of commanding the respect and helping kids learn respect for authority? Let's start with Fred.
Yeah, you know, that is a very interesting concept, especially when you're talking about people coaching kids. See, 85% of the people that coach kids out there in youth sports are the parents of one of the kids. So obviously they have a close connection with them. But you know, the interesting thing is that the older guys that are out there coaching, I just got, as an example, Nick, I got an email the other day from a guy that said he had coached for a long time, had been a member of our organization, now his grandkids are out there. And I think, what experience is he bringing to all this? All the negative things he may have seen, all the positive, and now he is bringing a lot of wealth in coaching kids. Why is that not the same at the professional level?
Andy, let me ask you this. We've talked about it. Fred, I know, is sort of a one-strike-and-you're-out philosopher in terms of this. What is your opinion about how a coach at a youth sports level, for kids that are acting out, not just on the field, but the way they treat the coach and also what they do off the field when they're doing things in school, when they're acting out, what is the most important advice you can give to parents and coaches in terms of establishing boundaries and discipline for young athletes?
Well, it's a learning experience, Nick, and I think the situation has to be, you know, these kids are going to make mistakes, the coaches are going to make mistakes, the parents are going to make mistakes. And I think the best way to look at that and to work around it is that it is a learning experience and that people communicate and discuss the issues when there is a problem, when a child makes a mistake on the field. You know, coaching is about correcting that, not about yelling and screaming at them, and I think it's a coach's job to sit down and talk with them about it. If we translate that to the professional level, you know, a lot of these professional athletes have never been in trouble. They've been able to get out of it because in the collegiate level, let's face it, a lot of college football programs in this country, you know, don't look at these issues we're talking about today with a lot of seriousness. They skirt it under the rug. They sweep it under the rug because they know this guy's the star of the team. If he gets in trouble, he gets, you know, this gets out, we're going to lose him. So they, and I think that's been proven pretty clearly that goes on. And then they get to the professional level, doesn't happen as well. These guys get caught, it's in the public spotlight, they've got to deal with it. And so I think it starts at the youth sport level where you really need to work with these people about right and wrong, good and bad, and teach the kids the difference between right and wrong. And it really starts with the coaches when they make a mistake, I think being open with the kids, say, you know what, I screwed up, here's why I screwed up, and I'm going to try to work on changing this in the future.
Fred, what would be your advice for the National Alliance for Youth Sports in terms of establishing basic boundaries for the young athletes that the coaches can stick to? So when a player acts out, Peter Roby talked about kicking off a pair of twins off the Harvard team, one of whom now is a regular correspondent, a medical correspondent for the Today Show, who said being kicked off the team was actually the best thing that ever happened to him, but because by giving boundaries, by letting him know that there was a place he could not go, that he realized he had to be accountable for his actions in a way he never had before.
Well, and you know, you stated it before, that I'm, when it regards to kids playing sports, and one time it's a one strike and you're out deal because of what you just said, the educational value. We never stop, for the most part, to look and think of sports for kids. It's a very educational experience. I call it the outdoor classroom for kids to learn about life. And when you have coaches that can teach kids that when you screw up, when you do things that are really, really wrong, then you don't belong to this team. And then later on, kids will take that message and learn it when they go into life. That's the value of sports to me.
Dr. Jenkins, final thoughts before we let you go, and we'll move on to Luke Jensen, his take on those players that have discipline on and off the court itself. But what would be your final advice, Dr. Jacobs, on if you were talking to a Marvin Lewis, and you're looking at what could be something that could kill him, not for what he does on the field, but because players, for whatever reason, don't respect, don't act on representing the team well off the field?
Well, I want to look at two things. Number one, the players that they're drafting and looking at free agency. I'd really want to do a thorough background about their personalities and their behavioral problems that they've had, if any. And then I would want to set up a real strong behavioral program with these guys and set some very firm guidelines. Here's what we allow. Here's what we don't allow. If you do this, this is what will happen. And then they've got to back it up. They've got to back it up. And these guys have got to be punished for what they're doing. They can't continue to get away with this. And think
okay, that's a generality, though. I mean, they've got to be punished. I mean, there's a punishment, there's a fine. What is a punishment that really would make a difference? Because whatever they've been punishing them with at this point in Cincinnati is not working.
Well, I don't know what they're doing, Nick. I mean, that's the whole thing. We've got to look at exactly what it is they're doing, because what they're doing isn't working, and it needs to be more severe. I mean, I can't comment on that because we don't know what it is. But whatever.
No, I want to know what you say. I want to put you on the spot here. What would you do? Would you suspend them? And to me, suspension is the only thing that gets their attention.
I think you suspend them and you dock them and pay, because that's what's going to make a statement to these guys. When they lose their paycheck, that's what's going to hit them right between the eyes, and that's where you're going to really get them.
Well, Dr. Jacobs, appreciate it. And everybody that wants to get in touch with Dr. Andrew Jacobs, a national authority on youth sports and sports psychology, go to winnersunlimited.com. Andy, thank you, buddy. We'll see you next week.
Take care. Thanks a lot.
Okay, we're going to be traveling. This is modern technology at its best. Fred Eng in Maui and Luke Jensen down under, thousands of miles away. Wake up, Luke.
Thousands. Sometimes you feel like millions of miles away.
Hey, this has been a pretty exciting and unpredictable Open. Before we get to the tennis results, you know, we've been talking about the effect of a Jimmy Connors on an Andy Roddick. You know, when you have a mentoring relationship, the level of discipline, the level of hard work and focus makes a difference. When you listen to the discussion of teams like the Cincinnati Bengals, that for whatever reason, with great talent, are seeming to sabotage themselves, what advice would you give the listener in terms of setting boundaries? I mean, would it be suspensions for 4 games, 2 games for the first thing? What would be the thing you would do to send a message if you're Marvin Lewis?
Well, I really believe you have to start cutting players. I really do at some point. I mean, at Syracuse University, I'm not at the level of professional football, but I had to reestablish some discipline and reestablish a code of professionalism on my team. And, for example, I don't like the fact that players throw their rackets. And, for example, if you throw your racket in competition, we'll pull you off the court and default the match. I feel so strongly about that. You never see Roger Federer throw his racket or Rafael Nadal. And I firmly believe you pull that stuff and you do it a couple times, you set that standard for that kid. Talk back to the coach, you're off the team. You can be our number one player and you'll be dismissed from the team. That's a $40,000 scholarship for talking back to the coaches. In my opinion, you establish what kind of organization you're going to be.
Maria Sharapova was seen slamming her racket down. What would you have done if you were her coach?
Well, I'd have to kick her off the team. I'm not kick her off
wow.
the team. I'd take her off the court. I'd take her off the court. The best thing that ever happened to me as a player and as a person was when I went to Southern Cal, and whenever I'd get upset in the practice, my fall semester, my coach Dick Leach at Southern Cal would pull me off the court, kick me out of practice. Never had to do it in the match because he established that in practice. Said if you throw the racket, that's not the way we do things at Southern Cal, and it really made the difference both in my career and just really established what kind of team we were going to be at Southern Cal. So I would have taken her off the court.
And then you had in your own life with Murphy, a guy that was a very talented guy. You had to keep him disciplined. What would be your insight looking back in your relationship with Murphy Jensen in terms of establishing more boundaries so that Murphy could achieve truly his highest level?
That's a great question. I think at the time, I really thought of, just trying to manage the situation like they're trying to manage with the Cincinnati Bengals and things. And Murphy had a lot of demons and a lot of positive things, but he also had a lot of negative things. And I think looking back, it would have been the best situation if I really said, this is how things have to be run. And if we're not going to run them this way, then I need to move forward and move on. I think I would have been a much better had a much better ranking, had a more performance, if I would have just moved on, if he pulled the stunts that he did pull. I mean, there were times where he'd be partying so hard during the U.S. Open. I remember, I think it was in the quarterfinals, that he didn't sleep at all the night before a quarterfinal match because he was out, raging the night before. That's not good, because I'm sacrificing. I'm doing the things that need to be done to win the U.S. Open, and he's in there raging. And he can rage after the tournament. Not during.
And you'd won the French, so it's not like you didn't have the ability to take it all. Fred Ang, when you listen to this, what advice would you give to parents who want to love their kids, they want to be as coaches, they want to be loving and encouraging to players? Dr. Jacobs talks about encouraging players, but the bottom line is once a season, once every couple seasons, you got to kick somebody off the team. How do you help a coach understand that has to be done once in a while?
Well, first of all, Luke is a man after my heart, because I agree absolutely, totally with everything that he's saying. That's the only way that we get a message across to kids, and it begins in the beginning. Think of all the people that are playing at the professional level now, that if their coach had been that way when they were young, when they were developing, understanding discipline and the need to be a team player, then we wouldn't have the problem. I think what has to happen is constant getting the message, as our organization does, to coaches and to parents, that this is a very important educational time in their life. It's not sports. It's growing up and developing as a human being.
Well, Fred, we're going to let you go back to the beaches of Maui. We'll check in with you next week, my friend. Appreciate it.
How about the first hole?
Okay.
I'll see you next.
Have fun there. Hey, Luke, when we come back, let's talk about Federer, whether he's the best ever, and your picks for this weekend for the Australian Open on IBM Advantage. Luke Jensen on Head Games and Sirius Channel 122. We'll be right back.